Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. What does it mean to help the environment, to be an environmentalist? What steps could I take to improve and protect the environment if I wanted to do something meaningful? Well, I did a quick Google search the other day, and although some of the top results did speak about diet, many did not. And the first site that came up when I searched the term help the environment was ThinkQuest.org. Have you heard of them? ThinkQuest.org. Here's the list of items from my helping the environment search at ThinkQuest. I want you to listen to this. Recycle. Stop junk mail. Add a low-flow faucet aerator. Change your kitchen habits by using reusable storage containers. Check your hot water heater. Beware of the paint you use. Inflate your tires well. Keep home appliances clean and serviced. Recharge your batteries. Use reusable shopping bags. Clean up the beach. Use low-flush toilets. Recycle your motor oil. Use fluorescent lighting. Don't release balloons. Use cloth diapers. Buy only recycled products. Carpool or walk. Eat dolphin-safe tuna or don't eat tuna at all. Buy in bulk. Shop for durable, long-lasting products. Buy products with recycled contents. And finally, donate your furniture. Excuse me, donate used furniture. Okay? Is that amazing? All those specific suggestions, and the only thing mentioned about diet was tuna. So if you care about the environment, what should you do about your own diet? More than the list would suggest? Well, according to our guest today, Dr. Richard Oppenlander, we must change the way we eat because our current habits around the world are causing global depletion, which he describes as loss of land, water, air, atmosphere, food supply, biodiversity, energy resources, and our own health. Since the early 1970s, Dr. Oppenlander has studied extensively the effect our food choices have on our health and the immense impact those choices have on the environment. He is a president and founder of an organic vegan food production and education business, as well as the founder of the nonprofit organization Inspire Awareness Now. Dr. Oppenlander served as sustainability advisor and consultant to organizations, institutions, and communities. Richard's book is entitled Comfortably Unaware, Global Depletion and Food Responsibility. What You Choose to Eat is Killing Our Planet. Welcome to the program, Richard.
Well, I'm happy to be here. It's a privilege, actually. I think before we begin, I'd like to take just a quick moment to thank you, Dr. Kirshner and Dr. Spiegel, for all your efforts on behalf of animals. It's pretty encouraging for me to see this, so thank you.
Thank you. Oh, thank you for recognizing that. Richard, what is your reaction to the list I just went through of things people should do to help the environment?
Well, first of all, it doesn't surprise me at all because the focus of attention for any type of environmental concern has been to recycle, to look at waste, and other categories, electricity and energy, pollution. If any food is mentioned in that in any category, whether it's with ThinkQuest.org or anywhere else, usually they will pick up on sustainable seafood, which is a catchphrase that really is nonsensical in a number of ways. And you happen to mention on that list dolphin-free tuna, but also grass-fed livestock is another one that's kind of picked up on. So it doesn't surprise me at all because food is rarely positioned, and if it is positioned, it's positioned usually inaccurately or insufficiently in any type of discourse about sustainability or what you can do to help the environment. So no, doesn't surprise me at all.
So I want to give you an opportunity now to lay out your main thesis about diet and the environment or global depletion. How do the diets we consume, Richard, harm the planet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, of course, that is the overriding, you know, theme of what I speak about and what I write about, but it's also the overriding theme of our own survival, I think, and it's not being overly dramatic once you start, you know, looking at and laying out the facts of the matter. So you're exactly right. It starts with the term global depletion I've used over the years to describe the loss of our primary resources on Earth, but also as well as a loss of our own health. And it's mostly due to a certain type of food that we eat. In this case, it happens to be animals. And it includes, I mean, we very often hear about and are actually hearing more about and are quite aware of the atrocities of factory farms and the issues of high fructose corn syrup and the industrialization or even processing foods and contribution to obesity. And they're all important topics, but those are simply small fragments of the whole picture. And in order to really understand sustainability or what we're doing to our earth or to ourselves, we need to move beyond all that and understand the entire picture by connecting all the dots, as you said, you read a number of them off, including the effect that we have on all aspects of global depletion, which is loss of biodiversity, world hunger, and everything you just mentioned. You might want to add climate change in there, and we can talk about that later, but it's a tremendously important factor, one of the, if not the most important factors in climate change.
So, now, Richard, this is a puzzling thing to me that maybe you can shed some light on, because you've lectured and consulted so widely. Why don't environmentalists or laypersons who claim to care about the environment eat more conscientiously?
Yeah, that's of course, a great question. I think let's begin the answer by first correctly defining an environmentalist. I think that'll help. Whether it's as a scientist by profession or someone who could be referred to as, you know, simply living green or a sustainable life. Surveys show that somewhere between 47 and 70% of all U.S. citizens, I know it's a wide range, but for different reasons, consider themselves green or caring about the environment. So most of us do. And yet only 1.5% consider themselves vegan, eating an only a plant-based diet. So that leaves nearly 99% of our country and nearly all environmental researchers supporting animal agriculture, which as we vaguely mentioned so far, is the single largest contributing sector to the combined effect of global depletion of our resources and climate change. So if you consume meat of any type, produced in any fashion, grass-fed or not, by definition, you can't be a comprehensive environmentalist. They contradict each other, needing to be more appropriately maybe termed a pseudo or even a selective environmentalist, you know, caring about what you know about or what you want to care about. Now that we have that little definition as a base, I think the reason why people who think of themselves as environmentalists don't eat more conscientiously is because they're unaware. They're either unaware of the food choice environment connection, hence, you know, the title of my book, Comfortably Unaware, or they're somewhat aware, but are buried in numerous and what are quite powerful layers of inhibiting influences such as our culture, social, political, and even influences of our media. These influences then form the barriers that we all have to eventually overcome in order to eat more sustainably, more appropriately for our environment.
Very good. Richard, many people make a decision to purchase at a premium a hybrid car such as a Toyota Prius to participate in the environmental movement or to demonstrate something about their attitudes, and yet their diets do more harm to the environment than their choice of cars mitigates. What do you think of those hybrid drivers?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. And, of course, you know, we all need to do what we can do within our own sphere of awareness or concern, and I think that it's a clear example that it's a contradiction. In other words, they, as I mentioned, you know, they may understand or be aware of the slight mitigating effects of driving a hybrid car, but they're not aware, or their influences are too great to overcome their awareness to eat more conscientiously or do something more along the lines of environmentalism according to their diet. Now, I often point out that it won't matter how many hybrid cars we drive or light bulbs that we change out if we don't first change out the way we eat, and it's very true. And about the organizations that you mentioned, or even, you know, belonging to something or driving hybrid cars, I mean, isn't that the story of non-progress, though, where an individual supports perhaps, you know, one organization or one aspect of environmentalism, like buying a hybrid car, as you mentioned, going one step forward, but then taking a quantum leap backwards by supporting the massive destruction of our environment and species, you know, biodiversity by eating animals. And remember that livestock, fish, dairy, and eggs are all part of the equation. So in order for true progress to occur, I think, towards sustainability and true environmentalism, toward a, you know, living a healthier and truly peaceful life, it all begins with looking at the larger perspective of how our choices profoundly impact other life on Earth. And food choice is the primary factor.
Very good. We're speaking to Dr. Richard Oppenlander. His book is Comfortably Unaware, Global Depletion and Food Responsibility, What You Choose to Eat is Killing Our Planet. Don't go away. More with Dr. Oppenlander right after the break. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. You're listening to Animals Today.
All the little birds on Jaybird Street, look to where the robin go, tweet, 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 robin, robin, tweet, 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 rock, 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 robin, tweet. We'll go rockin', lovin', cause we're really gonna rock tonight. Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs. This message is sponsored by Desert Paws. Visit them at desertpaws.org.
I just sneaked into my kids' rooms and took temperatures while they're sleeping, thanks to my Exergen thermometer. All I did was swipe their foreheads for a few seconds. It didn't even wake them up. My sister, the nurse, told us about the Exergen temporal scanner thermometer, and it's the best. Real value for the money and truly a lifesaver. Now I don't have to deal with ears or rears, if you know what I mean.
I'm Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of Exergen. Thousands of hospitals and clinics rely on temporal scanners. I'm confident you will too.
The Exergen temporal scanner. Pick one up at Costco and other fine retailers, or visit us at Exergen.com.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Outdoor banners.
Detailing your one-of-a-kind product offering.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you grow your business.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
And your customer base.
Design services, presentations, shipping.
So you go to the one place that has it all and prints it right.
Staples.
Right now, buy 250 business cards, postcards, flyers, or brochures and get 250 free. Details in-store or at staples.com/color. Ends 11/10/12. Staples. That was easy.
Prices are for base buildings only. May not be available in some areas.
Attention business owners, do you want a stimulus package that really works? Before you spend thousands of dollars more than you should on your next building project, listen to this. General Steel has a stimulus package designed to help you save as much as half the cost of conventional construction on your next building.
As much as half?
That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $30,000? So don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first, and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. With the projected demand for steel in Japan and China, prices may be skyrocketing.
Call 800-215-1727, 800-215-1727, 800-215-1727.
Geico presents a thank you letter from your motorcycle.
Hi, you dear guy that sits on me. I just wanted to say thanks. Ever since you saved money on your motorcycle insurance with Geico, we've been going out a lot more. The beach, the mountains, that curvy road that leads to the diner with the milkshakes you love. Look, the point is, you and me, we've become a biker buds. And I like it. I like it a lot.
Geico could help you save on your motorcycle insurance, and that should make you and your bike very happy.
Hey, dog, where's your owner?
Watching Netflix.
Yeah?
He can instantly watch as many TV episodes and movies as he wants online.
Well, I know what you did on my lawn, and it's not funny.
It is the kids.
Well, what are their parents supposed to laugh at?
The sophisticated jokes. You know, like, that dog chasing his tail reminds me of politicians.
Oh. Instantly watch as many TV episodes and movies as your family wants on all kinds of devices for only $8 a month with Netflix. Start your free trial today. See terms of use.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. We're speaking to Dr. Richard Openlander. His book, Comfortably Unaware, Global Depletion and Food Responsibility, What You Choose to Eat is Killing Our Planet. Before the break, Richard was defining an environmentalist. So, Richard, let me now ask you, do the bigger environmental groups, are they starting to advise veganism, or is that just too far out for them?
No, that's a good thought, but it's very much premature. They're not really doing much with that because it becomes, you know, many of these hurdles that I quickly mentioned with social, political, and culture, it's affecting the larger organizations as well. Even with some of the models that I've attempted to lay out for world hunger, it's a very obvious step to move in terms of progress to apply plant-based agricultural systems, and they just simply can't get themselves around to doing it. And so it's truly a shame because of all the lives that are affected. But there's been progress. I mean, make no mistake about it. But it's very slow, and obviously it's not enough.
Right. Richard, one of the most important and controversial figures in the modern green movement is Al Gore. Where does he fit into this discussion, in your opinion? Has he been helpful in explaining the reality of greenhouse gas production?
Yeah, that's a perfect question, too. In terms of controversy, I think the only controversy really has brought about is whether you believe in global warming or not. I consider it a much larger controversy in terms of the picture he's painting, which not too many people are aware of. And the answer to your question really explains, I think, quite a bit about our culture and the bigger picture of why we're failing right now at, well, actually failing miserably at mitigating climate change and continue to deplete our resources. Al Gore is a principal figure in that failing route. He's unquestionably accomplished a marvelous thing by increasing public awareness of the reality of global warming, and which, as you know, is the precursor to climate change and, you know, severe weather patterns. Now, for this and his book, An Inconvenient Truth, he won the Nobel Peace Prize, as you know, in 2007. But Mr. Gore's entire focus was how the energy sector is to blame for global warming, our use of electricity, burning of fossil fuels, and how to reduce this by changing out light bulbs and driving fuel-efficient cars, et cetera, things we just talked about. His approach was all energy-based, and it was centered on our carbon footprint. So unfortunately, he left a major component to global warming and climate change completely out of his campaign, which is food choice. And the reason no one knows about this is because no one still wants to talk much about it. But raising livestock is responsible for between 30% and 51% of all greenhouse gases produced by humans on our planet, and therefore it demands to be addressed more so than the energy sector, because raising livestock is also responsible for all these other areas and aspects of global depletion, not just climate change. So it's a much larger problem than our use of electricity and fossil fuels. Now, that omission by Mr. Gore was quite intentional because the scientists who assisted him all were aware of livestock's role. He himself knew this because he mentioned it in one paragraph, like two sentences in his 500-page book. But he has strong financial and political ties to the meat and dairy industry. It's well known, being a third-generation livestock farmer himself. Now, this is very typical in our society, where someone with a large media platform like Mr. Gore that has the ability to affect millions of people, well, they're not giving the public correct or accurate information. In this case, the information was clearly suppressed, and Mr. Gore took the easy route out for his message. So global warming will continue unabated, at least for the time being, because he left a large mark on and influence on us until reality resonates. So I mean, you know, you can answer that for me. Is that sort of a hero?
Right. Now, Richard, are we certain that by changing our behaviors, we can mitigate climate change? And if so, how can we control China, India, and other polluters?
Yeah, well, it's interesting to me that while we in the U.S. are concerned about climate change, we're unable to grasp the fact that we are indeed responsible for a good part of climate change. Now, we're so focused on the energy issue and our carbon footprint, but nearly half of our climate change problem can be attributed to food choice, eating animals, and this is why. So let's go through a quick summary of what we know, what research is showing us, although much of this information is being suppressed or mismanaged. But nevertheless, this is what renowned climatologists and associated researchers now know in terms of answering your question about responsibility. Number one, climate change is very real. it's worsening and the situation's urgent. Some feel we're on a 3 to 5 year timeline before irreversible climate change will occur if we don't drastically reduce greenhouse gases. Number two, greenhouse gases that we produce by our activities significantly affect climate change. We know this. Number three, raising animals for us to eat is one of the largest contributors to greenhouse gas emissions, as large or nearly as large as the entire energy sector. And in fact, that widely cited report by the United Nations in 2006 that people are now familiar with stated that raising livestock can, you know, produce 18% of all greenhouse gases, more than the entire transportation sector that we all have control over as well. But now that was literally shocking, but we now know that that was underestimated on many fronts, and that livestock are actually responsible for as much as 51% of all greenhouse gases. And that's because that original report had a livestock, it was authored by a livestock bias, and it didn't properly account for a number of factors, including land use and deforestation, carbon dioxide, methane production, et cetera. And number four, any food movement away from factory farms but to grass-fed or pastured systems will not solve the climate change problem. In fact, it's going to make it worse. So yes, we're highly responsible for this. And via the greenhouse gases that we produce, and the single easiest way, this is important to understand, the single easiest way to reverse or mitigate climate change and the severe weather patterns associated with it is to stop eating animals then entirely. We can keep focusing on lessening dependence on fossil fuel, just like Al Gore and everyone recommends, but renewable energy infrastructure, such as, you know, building solar and wind generators all over our country to reduce climate change, that's a good idea, but it's projected to take at least 20 more years and $18 trillion to develop, and we don't have 20 years. So the timeline is drastically different than that, and only 3 to 5 years. So on the other hand, another solution to climate change that we are responsible for would be we could stop eating animals, and it could be done today. It wouldn't take 20 years to be effective, and instead of $18 trillion, it costs nothing. So that's the prescription for climate change mitigation. And you know, along the way, you've reduced all these other aspects of global depletion.
Richard, there are other food controversies I want you to tackle and comment on, and they are grass-fed beef, the locavore movement, and farmed fish. Now, we just have a minute left in the segment, but start with the first one, if you would, which is the purported benefits of grass-fed beef.
Yeah, well, another great question. It's probably one of the questions of our future, but we have to ask, will our planet have anything left to support us as we continue to eat animals? And that's sort of the path of least resistance is just, you know, go off factory farms and start on grass-fed or local type of a movement. So I'm gonna separate your question out, so stop me at any point in time, but into components, because you have a couple in there. First, the grass-fed livestock. Yeah, many proponents like Michael Pollan and Mark Bittman and Jamie Oliver and nearly all food movements state that grass-fed livestock are sustainable and even humane, and that's the catch. But global depletion is not a factory farm issue. It's a raising animals to eat issue, and here's why. Because livestock already use 45% of all the land mass on Earth, 23% of all the fresh water, and they produce 30 to 51% of all the greenhouse gases. And eating animals depletes our own human health. Those detrimental aspects of serious land and water use inefficiency and contribution to climate change will not go away with grass-fed animals.
Richard Oppenlander, don't go away. This is great. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Thank you.
There's no getting around it. The great outdoors isn't so great for your cat. From speeding cars to toxic lawn chemicals, coyotes to cruel humans, cats are no match for the dangers of today's world. The good news is animal behaviorists say cats don't need to go outside to be happy. Your family will be happier and much healthier, too, without the ticks, fleas, diseases, and the dead critters that outdoor cats bring their owners. And you'll never have to explain to a sobbing child who or what hurt her pet or why he hasn't come home. For starters, don't let your kitten out. He won't miss what he doesn't know. But even adult cats can adapt to life indoors. The key is to provide attention, exercise, and a stimulating environment. Play with your cat. You can hide toys around the house, too. Just make sure there are no detachable parts that can be swallowed. Is he still wanting to get out? Consult an animal behaviorist for more tips. Animals Today urges you, don't give up. Right now, today, you can protect your cat from becoming a tragic statistic. Tomorrow may be too late.
This message is brought to you by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now. 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
Years ago, my doctor told me to take a Centrum Silver multivitamin every day. I tell him, sure, can't hurt, right? Then I heard this news about a multivitamin study looking at long-term health benefits for men over 50. And the multivitamin they used for the study? Centrum Silver. Hey, that's what I take. My doctor, he really knows his stuff.
The most recommended, most preferred, most studied. Centrum, always your most complete. A prior formula of Centrum Silver was used in the study.
Cofaquince number 23 from Robitussin, the speed dating turnoff.
Hi, I'm Debbie. What's your name?
Hi, I'm...
Ready, daters? Rotate.
Hey, I'm Jill.
Hey, Jill, I'm...
Coughs have cofaquences, like getting in the way of a possible date with the person who might have been that special someone. That's why there's Robitussin. The liquid formula soothes your throat on contact, and the active ingredient relieves your cough.
Hi, I'm Lisa.
Hi, I'm Steve. Where have you been all my life?
Robitussin. Don't suffer the cofaquences.
How'd you like to say goodbye to your mortgage for an entire year? Yep, goodbye, ta-ta, arrivederci. That's what'll happen if you're one of up to five lucky winners in the Quicken Loans Skip a Year Mortgage Sweepstakes. Just think, no mortgage payments for one whole year. Courtesy of Quicken Loans. Go to qlskipayear.com to enter. That's qlskipayear.com. And you can enter every day. The more you enter, the better your chances of winning. There's a bunch of other prizes, too. Check them out at qlskipayear.com. You could say so long to your mortgage for an entire year. Goodbye, farewell, see you later. Adios, au revoir, hasta mañana, toodaloo. The Quicken Loans Skip a Year Mortgage Sweepstakes. One more way, Quicken Loans is engineered to amaze.
No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 United States and D.C. 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Sweepstakes ends 11-18-12. For official rules and complete details, visit qlskipayear.com. Sponsor Quicken Loans Incorporated. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Outdoor banners.
Detailing your one-of-a-kind product offering.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you grow your business.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
And your customer base.
Design services, presentations, shipping.
So you go to the one place that has it all and prints it right.
Staples.
Right now, buy 250 business cards, postcards, flyers, or brochures and get 250 free. Details in-store or at staples.com/color. Ends 11-10-12. Staples. That was easy.
Inhabitants of Earth, you can run, but you cannot... What are you doing?
I'm watching Netflix on my smartphone, dude.
What?
I can instantly watch as many TV episodes and movies as I want.
You don't fear for your life?
Yeah, not really. Our atmosphere is eventually going to kill you anyway.
Nonsense. Our anatomy is...
There you go. Faster than I thought.
Instantly watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on all kinds of devices for only $8 a month with Netflix. Start your free trial today. See terms of use.
Welcome back to the show. Richard Openlander, Dr. Openlander, is our guest today. And just before the break, he was starting to discuss these food controversies, grass-fed beef, the locavore movement, and farm fish. Richard, please continue.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you. There are so many movements. We probably won't have time to touch on very many of them, but those few are very important. So to somewhat summarize on the grass-fed or pastured livestock movement, which is very large. You know, after visiting literally hundreds of farms all over the world, I found that you can't support anything more than one cow on 1 to 2 acres of land, with an average of 5 to 15 acres required. Now, this produces 450 pounds of a product that, you know, some people call food. But along the way, that grass-fed cow produced 3 to 4 tons of methane and carbon dioxide, required minimally 20 to 30,000 gallons of water, sometimes up to 1 million to 2 million gallons of water, all to produce a food item that's implicated in the 4 leading causes of death and the 5 leading causes of cancer in America. Now, that's as opposed to using your land, 1 acre, to produce anywhere between 5,000 pounds, you know, and as I said, you can only produce 400 pounds of this beef product, versus 5,000 pounds to maybe up to 45,000 pounds, depending on what type of plant-based food you're producing. And also not contributing anything to greenhouse gases. If anything, you're doing the opposite of taking carbon dioxide out of our atmosphere, sequestering it in the soil, and producing more oxygen. It's a win-win thing. It's just infinitely more beneficial, as well as instead of depleting the soil, you're actually replenishing it. Now, regarding the farm fish portion of your question, or aquaculture, this is the fastest growing food sector of any in the world, now comprising 49% of all fish consumed in the world. Yeah, it's amazing. Now, globally, 91% of all farm fish come from Asia, 64% from China, where operations are unregulated and pollution's rampant. Now, the many fish farms that I visited here in the U.S. that purport to be sustainable, they use massive amounts of electricity and fresh water on land, and they still use pharmaceuticals. In 60% of all fish farms are on land. Now, all fish farm operations contribute, this is important to understand, to further ravaging of our oceans, because even though you're moving operations on land, many of them are still in our oceans, but also because 88% of all the fish oil and 56% of all fish meal produced in the world by harvesting wild-caught fish out of our oceans, all that's given to these farm fish, because the farm fish don't produce omega-3s on their own. They have to get them from either plant-based products, or they have to get them from fish, wild-caught fish. It's really a bizarre use of our resources. And then there's, of course, the question of humane, which could take up a whole another 3 or 4 programs. Even though, you know, grass-fed animals raised humanely, you know, why does it matter if it's killed inhumanely? And so that's a whole other issue. And now, regarding the last part of that question, you know, to fractionate that out, the term local and locavore are very important, because it's used everywhere, and it's used in a highly inaccurate manner, because eating plant-based foods from 1,000 miles away will still be infinitely healthier for our planet and for you than if you ate grass-fed animals from your next-door neighbor. Now, yeah. A beautiful study was published by Carnegie Mellon a few years ago revealing that only 4% of all the fossil fuel used in the food production process actually comes from transportation. Okay, so now is eating local important? Sure, but only if it's plant-based. Now, it's not the miles traveled that we need to be worried about. It's the type of food that we're eating.
Richard, let's speak a little more about the oceans. And just for a minute here, because we're time limited.
Yes.
Are we destroying the oceans, and if so, how?
Yeah, tremendously, and that's actually a very huge topic, because fish and dairy are sort of the last strongholds of, you know, getting away from beef, but we're killing our oceans, certainly. And to simply put, our oceans are seriously damaged and are dying now, and pollution is one reason, but the primary reason is because of our demand to eat fish. And eating livestock on land, of course, causes acidification in our oceans because of all the greenhouse gases, but that's also secondary to our fishing. And it's not overfishing, it's fishing, which is another serious issue because, for instance, we have 17 major fishing stock areas in the world, and all of them are in the stage of collapse, all of them. The World Wildlife Fund found that 85% of all fisheries, meaning the number, type, and location of fish, 85% have been pushed beyond their limits, many of them without hope of returning. So anyway, because of the millions of tons, I mean, 98 million tons of fish were taken from our oceans last year, but that's not all. In the process, we're taking another 100, 200 million tons of bykill, which are all those other sea life, you know, that are caught and killed in the process of trying to catch that targeted fish. And so, for instance, last year, 300,000 whales and dolphins were killed in fishing nets while we're attempting to catch that targeted fish. So while you're eating fish, right, or while someone's demanding fish at your table, they're also demanding, essentially, or asking for all this other damage to our ecosystems and all other species, sea life species. And since 99% of the global population eats fish, I mean, the demand on our oceans is increasing, which is why we're moving to aquaculture, but then again, wild-caught fish are even used to feed farm fish. One last thing about that that's very important, sustainable is used incredibly inaccurately through the Marine Stewardship Council and Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch, which are certifying fish as sustainable when, in fact, they're not. And unbiased scientists have admitted to not knowing enough about and information about fish species, and especially about their interconnectedness, their interconnected sea life and ecosystems. So many of the fish that are labeled sustainable are, in fact, collapsing. Tuna cod, haddock, pollock, salmon, krill, menhaden, raw sea toothfish, lobster from the Gulf of Maine, just so many. And so we have to be very, very careful about the fact that, you know, that we're using the word sustainable to justify continued loss and damage to our oceans.
Richard, and I apologize. I realize I'm asking these questions and asking you to answer them in a minute or less when you can talk hours on each of the questions I ask you. So, but let's bring the discussion to individuals and their diets. How do you get people to think seriously about moving toward veganism? And second part of the question, just because we have just about 3 minutes to go, what do you find are the biggest obstacles?
Yeah, well, very, very good question. That's sort of the question of our future, I think, as well. It seems as if the simple answer is to just stop eating animals. But as you know, there are many, many obstacles, and there are many problems that need to be addressed, starting with education and increasing awareness levels, and then advocating policy change. I mean, once the demand for meat, dairy, and fish is at zero, by understanding this, then the industries would have found that transitioning to plant-based agricultural systems is the only economically viable alternative. And eventually, I believe that healthcare costs and insurance premiums will all be involved as well. I mean, all those who eat fully plant-based diets will create change in the healthcare and insurance industries to where it won't be economically desirable to eat animals due to the health risks and costs. But so now the greatest contribution an individual could make to their own health and that of our planet would be to set an example, advocate change, and spread word by way of on their own or through the many books, lectures, and radio shows like this one. I don't know how much time we have, but you asked a large part of that question was, you know, the obstacles. Yeah, and whether framing it from an environmental sustainability standpoint, human health, or ethical concern, the right approach to food choice is a fully plant-based diet, of course. Now, there's no logical or irrefutable scientific argument right now against this. There really isn't. But it remains an awareness issue. So the biggest influence, I think, even though we mentioned a few at the beginning here, is culture, because culture really trumps even religion when it comes to food choice, as seen right now in the traditionally Buddhist or Hindu areas of the world, you know, where they're continuing to eat meat and killing, you know, life when it's, you know, against their religious, you know, precepts. And also the meat, fishing, and dairy industries combine with our policymakers to continue marketing efforts and suppress information. So I believe that there are going to be a couple different types of individuals as we progress and evolve. One will be the type that become more aware, sort of a bottom-up grassroots involvement or effort, and the other one's going to have to be from a bottom or a top-down policy change, because there are going to be many people who aren't aware are aware and don't care. So we're going to have to advocate enactment of an eco and health risk tax, something that will mandate, you know, that eating no meat at all because of the irreversible damage to our environment, to ourselves, so I believe that that's, you know, those are some of the hurdles we have to get over. And I think that, you know, certainly right now, having a transition by eating less meat or only on 6 days of the week or only taking baby steps is not going to work, because that's not the prescription that's needed for damage control and climate change mitigation.
Comfortably unaware, global depletion and food responsibility, what you choose to eat is killing our planet. Dr. Richard Oppenlander, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so very much for the opportunity today, and I want to wish you and your audience all the very best. Good work. Well done. Take good care.
Thank you, sir. Okay, don't go away. We have Peter in the News coming up next on Animals Today.
you and your family have decided to get a dog or cat. We think that's great, and we want to remind you to adopt your next pet instead of buying. That's because there are so many lovable, adoptable dogs and cats waiting to go home that it just doesn't make sense to buy a pet from a breeder or pet store. And tragically, 50 to 70% of all animals that enter shelters are euthanized. That's millions per year. So when you adopt your pet from a shelter, most likely you really are saving a life. Did you know that most dogs sold in pet stores come from puppy mills, crowded, inhumane breeding facilities that exist simply for the profit of their owners? Did you ever consider that dog breeders are in business mainly to create and sell animals? Buying animals just makes pet overpopulation worse because it perpetuates unneeded breeding and takes away chances to live from sheltered animals. Even if you want a particular breed, you should still visit a shelter because 20 to 25% of animals housed in shelters are purebred. Or contact an animal rescue group that works with the breed you like. With not much effort, you can usually find your perfect companion. So remember, adopt and save a life. It'll give you a nice, warm, and furry feeling. This message is from Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org. Did you know that there is a huge problem with pet overpopulation? There are so many unwanted dogs and cats that sadly millions of wonderful pets are euthanized every year in shelters because there's just nowhere for them to go. Consider that one female dog and her offspring can produce more than 50,000 puppies in just 6 years, and that a female cat and her kittens can produce more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. Now, everybody loves a cute puppy or a playful kitten, but there simply are not enough people to care for all the animals. If you let your animal have a litter, even just one, then these kittens and puppies can go on to produce more offspring themselves. We can all help reduce this problem by spaying or neutering our animals as soon as we obtain them. That's what responsible pet owners do. Ask your veterinarian about the procedure. You'll also learn that spaying and neutering can allow your pet to live a longer, healthier life by reducing the chances of certain cancers. There are other benefits too. Fixed animals are less likely to bite, fight, roam, or run away. Neutered cats are less likely to mark their territory. And because they do not go into heat cycles, they are less likely to cry continuously or to attract unwanted animals. So make sure to spay or neuter your pets right away and tell your friends and relatives about how we can all help make pet euthanasia a thing of the past. This message presented by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
Prices are for base buildings only. May not be available in some areas.
Attention business owners, do you want a stimulus package that really works? Before you spend thousands of dollars more than you should on your next building project, listen to this. General Steel has a stimulus package designed to help you save as much as half the cost of conventional construction on your next building.
As much as half?
That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $30,000? So don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first, and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. With the projected demand for steel in Japan and China, prices may be skyrocketing.
Call 800-215-1727, 800-215-1727, 800-215-1727.
Geico presents a thank you letter from your motorcycle.
Hey, I just wanted to say thanks. Ever since you saved money on your motorcycle insurance with Geico, we've been going out a lot more. When we're together, things just work. My pipes rumble, and my engine screams like an eagle. A happy eagle, not one of those angry eagles. You know? Yeah, you know.
Geico could help you save on your motorcycle insurance, and that should make you and your bike very happy.
I just sneaked into my kids' rooms and took temperatures while they're sleeping, thanks to my Exergen thermometer. All I did was swipe their foreheads for a few seconds. It didn't even wake them up. My sister, the nurse, told us about the Exergen temporal scanner thermometer, and it's the best. Real value for the money and truly a lifesaver. Now I don't have to deal with ears or rears, if you know what I mean.
I'm Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of Exergen. Thousands of hospitals and clinics rely on temporal scanners. I'm confident you will too.
The Exergen temporal scanner. Pick one up at Costco and other fine retailers, or visit us at Exergen.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now. 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all.
Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
Welcome back to the show. Hello, Peter.
Hey, Laurie. How are you?
Good. What's going on these days in the news?
Well, in South Florida, in West Palm Beach, there was a bug-eating contest at a local pet store, Bennett Siegel Reptiles.
Oh, that's sensitive.
They were having a midnight madness contest of consuming roaches and worms, and one of the contestants, who was a 32-year-old guy from West Palm Beach, died right there, eating his right after he claimed his prize.
Just what was the cause of death?
Cause is not yet determined. But he did win this snake. That was his. That's what they were eating for.
Well, he's dead, so he doesn't get the snake now.
Does not get the snake, and what a gross thing!
It's senseless. What's the point?
Well, people eat bugs, you know, some people say it was just a... Well, what's the point? People eat lots of silly stuff for contests.
Well, you know, right, exactly. I'm not into the hot dog eating contest or any food consumption contest that they do. So I'm not going to be into eating bugs either.
Okay, so, right. So probably he had a heart attack.
Yeah.
But what exactly caused it, whether they'll be able to figure that out. Maybe he had diet of gross overload.
Or maybe some toxins.
Yeah,
or something
it does make you wonder if
bacteria.
But people eat worms and people eat roaches.
Yeah, but not thousands of them at once.
Yeah.
You know.
Well.
So they're not going to be having this contest again, I hope.
No, they probably won't have this contest. Okay. But I imagine even with the waivers, there'll probably be lawsuits.
Right.
And we'll see. But when we get a cause of death, I'll let you know.
Okay.
But imagine you're the coroner, and that's your job to figure out. And you cut into this guy's stomach and inspect the contents. Oh, a horrible story from Pennsylvania. There was a Halloween party, and somebody thought they saw a skunk outside the house. And the mother of this household told her 24-year-old son to get the shotgun and shoot the skunk. Well, it turns out the skunk is actually a costumed party goer, a young girl who was shot with the shotgun and was badly hurt in the hospital.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yes. Don't just grab your... It was an 8-year-old cousin, actually. Don't just grab your shotgun and go shooting.
Yeah.
If someone says there's a skunk around your house.
Right.
And you're not supposed to be shooting in the vicinity of your house. And you're not supposed to be shooting unless you have the proper license anyway. And
there's so many things wrong with this, Peter. There's so many things wrong with this.
But what sets someone off... At the first thought of there's a skunk, okay,
let's kill it.
My first reflex is to grab the shotgun and kill it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, how do you get to that point?
Well, there might be some pathology involved there.
In Wisconsin, a guy is going to face probably a lot of animal neglect charges because he had 68 Siberian Huskies in his establishment called Howlin' Winds Siberians. Actually, two folks, Donald Smith and Denise Siwak of Friendship, they have found, this is a breeding establishment, and found the animals in various stages of starvation, some already dead, and also a bunch of goats on the property.
It bothers me so much. We read and hear stories about this daily, don't we?
All the time.
The breeders, the hoarders, all of these animals that are being neglected and abused. It's just such a big problem right now.
And why do you think these people, they're doing it for the love of the
breed? No, of course not. They're doing it for selfish financial reasons.
So the authorities are trying to figure out exactly how to charge this, but there's going to be a lot opportunity.
Okay. Were any of the dogs?
A couple of the dogs had to be euthanized right there.
Okay.
And trying to deal with the others, getting them adopted, rescue organizations.
It's just so horrific.
Yes. Another weird, horrible story was that a guy who had a reptile roadshow, Garth Pithen, he would take his reptiles to schools, and he would do shows with his various reptiles. He had them in the basement of his house. House had a fire. Many of the animals killed.
No.
He lost, he says, about half of the main animals I brought to parties.
Yeah.
So some of the animals' money does not replace their my friends, he stated.
Oh.
So what do you do about this? Now, I know it's a tragedy, and you don't allow a fire to happen where you've got these animals. But what do you think, Lori, about this notion of bringing reptiles on road trips, whether you're getting paid or not, to introduce kids to them? Do you think on balance it's harmful or helpful?
I think it's harmful.
Yeah.
And I don't like it at all.
Yeah.
It's just similar to a roadside zoo. I don't like it.
So you think the kids get the sort of the rush of seeing the animal?
No, I think if it had any educational benefit, I would say yes, it's okay. I think it's purely entertainment and purely exploitive, and I just don't like it.
Got it. In New York, they're having trouble at the racetracks because they've turned the Aqueduct Racetrack, which is a big one in New York City, into a racino. So here's how this is causing major trouble. You've got all these revenues from the casino part of the operation, from the slots, and by agreement, a certain percentage of those revenues go to the purses, the winnings of the horses. So now these purses are worth much more than the value of the horse.
Mm.
So the owners and the horses have no incentive to really care for their horses. Their incentive is to run the horse as fast as possible, hoping to get a win right there and get a big purse, even if it hurts or harms or kills the horse.
Wow.
So all last year, 21 racehorses at Aqueduct Racetrack died because of this new system.
Oh, no.
So they got to figure out a way to keep the purses small enough so that the owners are not incentivized to run their dogs too hard.
Well, Peter, I don't know if it's a mood you're in or whatever. You usually bring at least one nice story to the table.
Okay. So
okay, we only have 30 seconds, less than 30 seconds.
I want to recommend the book I'm a Good Dog by Ken Foster about pit bulls, America's most beautiful and misunderstood pet.
Good.
This is an absolutely beautiful illustrated dog book, and go out and get it.
Great. I'm a Good Dog by Ken Foster. Wonderful. Thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks, so please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
IORN USA Radio News, I'm Jordan Hooker. President Barack Obama says the huge storm heading for the East Coast should be taken seriously and has promised a fast response from the government. Obama met with federal emergency officials for an update on the storm earlier today. President Obama has canceled some campaign stops, as his Republican rival Mitt Romney has done as well. The Statue of Liberty has officially reopened to the public. It had been closed for a year-long renovation project. The public will have to wait longer to see the statue, however, because it will be closed Monday and Tuesday due to Hurricane Sandy.
A minor earthquake rattled Southern California this afternoon after a 7.7 magnitude earthquake struck off the west coast of Canada last night. It was the biggest quake in Canada since 1949. The 3.9 quake was felt in downtown Los Angeles. You're listening to IRN USA Radio News.
Attention homeowners. The Obama administration is pressuring lenders to do more to prevent foreclosure with its Home Affordability and Stability Plan. If you own a home and you're having trouble making your payments or facing foreclosure, we can help. Call the National Mortgage Helpline at 800-538-6780. We now have the